Praise the Lord. I'm an absentee pastor. I haven't been around for a while, but my name is Pastor Tony Alamo. And we have services here every evening at 8 o'clock, and on Sundays, 3 and 8. And we have a policy, because it's of the Lord, that there's no talking during the services because it breaks the spirit. So a lot of times people want to ask questions during the service, but save them until after the service, and then I'll be happy to answer your questions then. If you have any questions about the Bible, I've studied it for almost 41 years now, and I'll be glad to tell you what I know. And I know it very well. So, but right now, let's all bow our heads as we go up to the throne of the Lord to ask him to pour out his outward anointing on this service. Father, when we ask you to enter into us, you give us the inward anointing. You give us immortal life, eternal life within. And then we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And this gives us the outward anointing to preach the gospel and to fight from the vantage point in the kingdom of heaven, because we're there in your ascension, sitting with you in heavenly places. Lord, we are able to then fight the fight of faith, the great fight of faith. Lord, we are able then to war spiritually against your enemy, Satan. This world is infested with him, and he has illegally gotten this world system, and you're sending your people such as us into the world to bring about the kingdom of heaven right here on earth. Lord, anoint this service outwardly now, that everyone may be able to understand everything that's being said and done in this service, so that they can receive immortal life. And so far as the church is concerned, Lord, we ask that you anoint the word so that more growth, that the fullness of the stature of Christ may become in them. In Jesus' name we pray. Lord, we ask for souls, and we ask for a on-fire service in the name of Jesus, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, praise the Lord. We have some testimonies this afternoon, I'm sure. Who are testimonies? I mean, you got a testimony to glorify the Lord?
I thank God today because of his mercy. I'm very thankful. I know it's nothing that I ever did that was good for the Lord to save me. I was trying to be caught up in a career and make money and, you know, have my career going and everything like that. But I tell you what, inside I knew that I was a miserable, wretched person. I didn't know what was wrong with me, but I knew something was desperately wrong. And I'm very thankful today I met Jesus Christ, the man from Galilee at the foot of the cross. And you know what? It was the fear of God that drove me to my knees, because I felt that I was going to go out to meet the living God. And I cried out to the Lord at the foot of the cross, and he saved me. I truly did have a born-again experience with God. It wasn't like going to church like I was used to, the Baptist churches, but I really had an experience with the Almighty Living God. And I'm a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank God today for salvation. I thank him for that fear that keeps me going. I thank him for that vision of the kingdom of heaven. And very thankful for all the blood-washed saints in the body of Christ. Praise the Lord.
Praise and thank the living God for my salvation, for saving my soul, for bringing me here to this ministry where I heard the truth. The truth came forth here across this pulpit when I came here to services, and I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, and he changed my life. And ever since I was a child, I believed in the Lord, and but I didn't really know him. I didn't know him personally. There's no one out there preaching the true gospel. And as I was going through school and childhood, you know, I didn't know, I was looking for happiness. You know, I didn't have a family. You know, I just had a mother and a sister. And I always felt alone. I always felt separate from everybody else. And so I figured the answer was in having lots of friends and having some money in my pocket and be able to do the things I wanted to do. And when I became a teenager, I was able to do these things, yet I was still miserable. And the Lord revealed to me when I was 17 years old that my life had to be given to Him wholly, and I had to serve Him and lay down my life and go out and evangelize and preach the gospel. But I still wasn't ready to accept Him, and I didn't know that at the time. I didn't know that you had to be completely free from sin, because no one out there was preaching that. But the Lord, through His abundant mercy, had a plan for me. And when I got to the lowest part of my life, when I hit rock bottom, I cried out to the Lord with my whole heart. And He answered my prayer for bringing me to this ministry. And I heard the truth, and I accepted the Lord as my personal Lord and Savior. And He came into my heart, into my spirit. And He made me a new creature, made me a son of God. And I thank the Lord for doing that, for changing my life, for giving me happiness, for giving me peace, for giving me joy unspeakable and full of glory. And I thank and praise the Lord for, you know, the family that I have in Jesus Christ, for our pastor, and for, you know, that I'm able to be in His service, to be able to go out there and warn people about the judgment of God. And I just thank God that I can be here tonight. Praise the Lord.
That's right. You know, a lot of people get into the ministry and they've never read the Bible and they don't know the Lord. They say they know the Lord. And, you know, when they first asked Jesus to enter into their spirit, God, Jesus with the Father by the Spirit, enters into our spirits. Now, everything in this world has life. The life that it has is temporal life. It's just not permanent. Everything has to die. Everything from plant life, grass, and the trees, and the flowers, all these things have to die. Fish, the fowls of the air, the beasts of the field, the creeping things, and humans. We all have temporal life. Now, when we invite the Lord God, the Lord Jesus Christ, with the Father by the Spirit into our spirits, He's the only one that has permanent life, which means eternal life. So what He does is He enters into us by the Spirit, into our temporal spirit, and gives it His eternal, immortal, permanent life. And so a lot of people, and then at that moment, we become born again of the Spirit, and we have God's immortal, permanent life within us. And so when that happens, we are immediately resurrected from our dead spirit. It's now become alive permanently. If we continue on, the Bible says, to the end. And so the way that we're able to, we need to then learn Christ. Because how can you love somebody if you don't know Him? The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And it says that He came to this world as a man. So the firstborn of the spirit man was Jesus Christ. He was the first God-man. Now, every one of us, He said, can become the same as He if we go through the same process. And then after your resurrection from death by the Holy Spirit, then you ascend. We have to ascend up to Christ and sit with Him in heavenly places. The Bible says, but how can you know if I'm telling you the truth if you don't study the Bible yourself? And so, and then when we ascend with Him in heavenly places, we are to reign with Him. Now, the Lord didn't call us to just sit in the church and clap our hands and say hallelujah and amen and to get up here and shuffle back and forth. The Lord called us to do something. He called us to reign and rule over this world. When Satan illegally took the earth over, this world over, he came up with this world system. He did that illegally by lying to Eve, and she believed it and received it, and therefore Satan took power and dominion, the same power and dominion that God gave to Adam over this entire world. And now, when Christ came 4,000 years later, he proved to everyone in the world that He did not sin. So therefore, in Christ, we also have power and dominion and authority to rule. But we have to go through the whole salvation process, and most people haven't read the Bible enough to know that the entire process is you must ask the Spirit, the permanent Spirit of life, to enter into you. You must, and this will resurrect you into immortal life, eternal life, and then you continue reading the Bible. The Bible is God. It's the Word of God. And the Bible also says that the Bible, the Word of God, is Jesus. And the book of Revelation says He sits on a horse, and on His thigh is His name, And that name is the Word of God. And in the first chapter of John, it also says, as I said, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he came to earth. So the Word is Jesus. And it says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, believe on the Word of God, and thou shalt be saved. And he means the whole Word of God. That means from Genesis to Exodus, because the entire Word of God is Jesus. So when you're believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, that means you're believing on the whole Word of God. That means you have to study the whole Word of God so that you can know that you believe it or that you don't believe it. Amen? Oh, you didn't know that, right? Well, you know, maybe you haven't read the Bible. But that's what... And then the Bible says that, you know, that we have to study the Word to be workmen approved by God. We don't know whether we're doing right or wrong or if we're in the Spirit. When we study the Word and we've got it all in us, then the Bible says that we have the full armor of God and we're armored. We're armed and armored with the Word of God. And the Bible tells us that we're equipped. We have with the fullness of the stature of Christ when we have the full Bible, the knowledge of it. And so many people teach it wrong. I mean, I just can't even believe some of the things that they say. But I'll get into this just a little bit later. We have another sister here that wants to give a testimony, and she has something on her heart, and I know she has relatives here this evening. And I'd like you to say something to us in English, and then they are speaking Spanish, and say something to them in Spanish, all right?
Okay. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. I'm very, very thankful to the Lord and my Savior for my salvation. And I'm telling you, I'm very grateful because he saved me and he brought me to the right place where I can serve him in spirit and in truth. And I'm telling you, when Tony was praying for my brother-in-law, I know that the Lord touched him and healed him. And I give all the glory to my Lord and my Savior for my salvation. I don't saw my nephews for 27 years, and I'm very thankful that they're here tonight, this afternoon. And le doy gracias al Señor por mi salvación. Y cuando yo oí que el pastor oró por mi cuñado, yo sentí la sanidad de él. Y le doy todas las gracias y la honra y la gloria por su sanidad. Y yo no había mirado a mis sobrinos por 27 años, pero el Señor los trajo aquí en el preciso momento. I'm very thankful for everything he done in my life and for my wonderful pastor, Tony Alamo. And I love him very much. Praise the Lord.
And the Lord loves you, and every born of the Spirit Christian loves one another. Amen?
Amen.
This is how people know that we are of the Lord, is that we love one another. Right?
Amen.
That's what the Bible says. So we have to remember that if a person doesn't love their brothers and their sisters, I'm talking about godly love, which means to keep the commandments. Love is the keeping of God's commandments, the Bible says. Well, then we're still walking in darkness if we don't love one another. And love just means let's keep the commandments before each other. Let's keep it real straight. Amen? Because the Lord is coming back to earth real soon. A lot of people ask me, well, how do you know the Lord is coming back? How do you know that he's real? Well, first of all, I've had really supernatural experiences with him. The Bible said it's more blessed to believe without having visions and dreams and all the things that I've had from the Lord. And so those of you that believe without having seen visions and dreams and having all the supernatural things that happened to me, that you obviously are more blessed than I am. And I, you know, I really... I'm jealous of your faith to believe without having seen. I've seen. The Lord has appeared before me, before my very eyes, but that isn't how I got saved. That happened 3 years after I was saved. And I received the baptism in the Holy Spirit about 3 years after I was saved. And I was really a complete different person before the Lord saved me, just like all the rest of you. And there's a person here that knew me before I was saved, Brother H.B. here. He knows that I was not a type of person that would be doing what I'm doing today if that supernatural things hadn't happened to me. It's amazing that the world is so lost they're in darkness and they're believing a lie. There's a huge revival going on in the world. It appears to be a revival, but what it really is the great falling away of the church. It's mentioned in the second chapter of the book of 2 Thessalonians in the New Testament. It tells us that the Lord will not be coming back until there's a falling away of the church. And this has already happened. The falling away is that they're believing false doctrine, that God is just love, and that they just don't know the Bible. They don't read it. They don't care to read it. They just want to come in and sing songs. Like, for instance, there was a sister that is now a sister. She was in the Vatican type church, and she says she got saved. And she says, I'm coming to serve the Lord at the Vatican here. And Mother Teresa told her, she says, and I'm bringing my Bible. And Mother Teresa told her, what? Bringing a Bible? She said, we're just poor people. All we do is just work and spin and sew and take orders from our higher up. But this isn't what the Lord wants us to do. He wants us to know Him. And Him is the Word. Amen?
Amen.
You cannot know the Lord. How can you say you love the Lord if you don't know Him, the Word? I love the Lord because He is strict, and that He isn't a person that is the type that just lets people get off the hook with everything. He said He forgives us of our former sins, and if we sin sins that are not unto death, then we have an advocate with the Father, that through the blood of Jesus that we can be forgiven for sins not unto death. But there are sins that are unto death, such as blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And I've just written a piece of literature in that regard of the different ways that people blaspheme the Holy Spirit. All right, so the people of the world today, the Bible in 2 Thessalonians, it tells us again that Satan, the Antichrist spirit, it says that he would sit down in the temple of God and say that he's God. And so many people, false prophets, or people that are not fully mature in the Lord, believe that this is some building over in Jerusalem. But it's not. You are the temple of God.
Amen.
Okay, that's the great falling away. You are the temple of God. And so that's what it tells us right at the same place where it says that there's going to be a falling away. And they're letting Satan sit in them, and they're starting to go along with this new doctrine of saying that we should all be one major church. All religions should gather together and be one. When the Lord plainly tells us that we need to be separate and holy, that religion is of the devil, salvation is of the Lord. And so all it is we just need to be saved and just follow the simple instructions of the Lord. You cannot, the Bible says, mingle the spirit of Satan with the spirit of the Lord. He says you cannot serve two masters. You cannot be part of this world religious movement and be of the Lord. You must be just born again of the Spirit and be walking in the Spirit. The Spirit, the law of the Spirit. There are several laws in the Bible. There's the moral law, there's the law of sacrifices, there's the law of circumcision, there's the law of sin and death, and there's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And so the Bible says that they say that there's no one that's perfect. But the book of the Bible states that there's no condemnation to a person, to Christians, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So, if you're not condemned, then you're perfect in the eyes of God. Now, you may love to receive the doctrine that no one is perfect, but the Lord says, without perfection, without holiness, no man will see God. Now, this message makes people very nervous. You know, that really love to sin. And they love to just lay back and not really serve the Lord, not walk in the Spirit. the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. But this is a very simple thing to do, but it takes discipline. The Bible states that we must discipline ourselves to be disciplined by the Holy Spirit. If we do that, if we just put all of our focus on the Lord, you say, well, it's so hard to do today because, in fact, there's so many distractions from the Word of God that it's just, we can't seem to do that. And people that say that are not, they're not completely saved because they're not, they may have been born again of the Spirit, they may have been resurrected, but the complete cycle of salvation is that you're ascended with Christ and sitting with Him in heavenly places. And the Bible says that those of us that are Christians, born again of the Spirit, we sit with Him in heavenly places by the Spirit. We're connected with our Lord. We're His body. We are the New Jerusalem. So those that are not, they cannot. When in a war, and we're in a spiritual war, whether you like it or not, you have to be involved with it one way or the other, or you're just laying down and letting Satan eat you up for supper, for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And so when we're sitting in war, you're sitting on a mountain. You have an advantage. You can look down at everything. And the Lord says He's given us power and dominion when we're saved, and authority over everything. And that's what the Lord called us to do, is to take power, dominion, and authority over our flesh first. We have to crucify our flesh. We have to deny ourselves and take up a cross, our cross, and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that means we have to keep our minds on the Word, on the Spirit. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you are spirit and they are life. And so the Word is the Bible. So this Word is spirit. When you're reading the Bible, you can tell that something is happening inside of you, and you can feel the life of God moving into you. You're receiving it. And people say, well, I don't read as much as I should. This is a straight, that just means that we're not that concerned about our soul. And if you're not concerned about your own soul, well, for sure you're not concerned about anybody else's soul. Amen?
Amen?
No, you're not concerned about anybody. How could you possibly be concerned about God if you don't communicate with Him through His Word, the Spirit? Amen?
Amen.
And if you're not concerned of fellowshipping with Him in His Word through the Spirit, then it's unlikely that you would be very happy in the kingdom of heaven. Now, there's some preachers today, false prophets, that make a lot of money in the gospel field, and that doesn't mean that they love the Lord. There's stories out, where the head of the biggest network of Christian television stations is homosexual. Paul Crouch, and he paid a man off that he had a homosexual affair with $400,000 to shut his mouth. And then the man wrote a book about it, and another, his chauffeur, claims the same thing, and he's almost willing to pay $10 million to buy the rights of the book. All right, so this is things like that that are going on. And how can you possibly, and the man is a Catholic pretending to be a Christian. So I just written a piece of literature about ready to be put out called The Blasphemies of the Pope. Blasphemy is to say that the Word of God is a lie, and that the evolution is the truth. God, he says, John Paul II and many of the other popes stated that Genesis, the story of creation, is a myth. Now, the reason I know that the Bible is 100% true, because I follow it, and I see everything that the Lord said would be happening in the last days is happening right before our very eyes. Amen? The structure of the world government, the United Council of, quote, churches, I mean cults, headed by the Vatican. Now, the Vatican is calling the shots over everything, the government and everything. People say, why do you talk about that? Because the Bible talks about it, and we live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so Rome The Bible says the city of the seven hills or mountains is the seat of Satan. And that's where the Vatican is. There isn't another church or quote church unquote that even resembles in a little way the Antichrist church. Now, Christ, he claims to be, all these popes claim to be the vicar of Christ, the actual representative of the Lord Jesus Christ on earth. And as a matter of fact, he says he is God and that he is Christ and that he has the power to rule over all the nations and all the politicians. And in fact, he does. No one can even allow to be running for president unless they agree to follow the instructions of the Pope. President Bush has erected a huge monument for the Pope in Washington, D.C. And there's so many different things that I've written recently on that. I've got so many pieces of literature that I haven't even released yet. There's over 100 or 200 of them that I can't even keep track of. The sisters in the office tell me that I've got about 300-400, and I've just done thousands of Bible tapes to explain to people the things that are going on. And we're on the air now, and we're going on shortwave all over the world. Homosexuals will not allow me on their television station. We were on TV, Sue and myself, for 10 years. We had a huge choir, orchestra, and a lot of great testimonies, and everyone was filled with zeal, and then they took us off the air. And I'm far more, Susie always said, just don't name the church. You're too brutally honest. But God is brutally honest, you know? And so God took her, and now the brutally honest one is just letting it all hang out, all right? Okay, that's just the way it is. Because, you know, your souls are too precious to God for me to sit here and lie to you. And I'd wind up in the pit of hell if I was so stupid as to stand up here and tell you a pack of lies. And I can't. The reason that these people have fallen away is because they've never had a real, true, supernatural experience with the Lord like the Apostle Paul has had and like I have. Paul was no more thinking about being a Christian then it is the exact opposite. He was on the road to Damascus to murder a bunch, capture them and turn them in. He was a Pharisee, and he wanted to kill Christianity because he felt that they were teaching people to be Gentiles. These Jews were teaching people to be Gentiles, disbelievers in the law. The only thing that we preach against the law is the law of sacrifices and the law of circumcision. Now circumcision is of the Spirit. The Spirit of God enters into you, the permanent Spirit of God, to give you permanent everlasting life, so you're not temporal anymore, and that your soul is saved now, and it's not going to hell, but you're going up into the kingdom of heaven as soon as the Spirit leaves your body. And so he was on his way there, and he saw the Lord as in a light, and that changed his whole life instantly. When you really have a supernatural experience with the Lord, you're not going to sin anymore. Because the fear of the Lord comes upon you. I never thought, it was my wildest imaginations, that God existed. That there was, I just thought it was the most ridiculous thing. And people that know me, like HB here, know that I never talked about God. I did different promotions and things like that, and I didn't want to. And I'd go out late at night and spend all night up and to the clubs and everything like that. And most of the people in show business know that. And I just didn't care about, and anyone that would get in my face with the gospel, I just tell them, get out of my face. And then when it happened, I was promoting a singer, and I was in the office in Beverly Hills because this attorney and several movie stars wanted to buy into this singer. And I really didn't want to because I wanted to take a person and promote them to where they were bigger than the Beatles. And I'm the one that started the 20 original hits You Can't Buy It in the Store, You Gotta Call on the Phone. KTEL Records copied the idea after I got tired of it. And then Warner Brothers now is doing the same thing that I was doing years before they ever got the nerve to do it. It's the new way of selling records. Now it doesn't seem new anymore because you're so used to seeing their ads and things like that, but everybody always sold records through distributors. And the distributors would ask you for 100 or more freebies for everything that you'd send them, and then they a lot of times wouldn't even get your records on the air. They wouldn't even get you into the stores. And so I said, what do we need distributors for? They want me to go to the disc jockeys. They wanted me to get the records to the store. And so I said, this is ridiculous. I'm going on the air with it because I'm going to save money on the same money that I pay for payola and the same money that I would pay for to the distributors. They took a big bite out of the profit. I just put 20 smash hits. No one had ever done that before either. We lost some bass on the thing, but I didn't care at all. I thought people were going to buy it anyway because they were all 20 smash hits. And I was just interested in just seeing how bright I was, if my ideas really worked, and they were working. And so I was with the world's largest chain of health spas. I was the executive vice president of sales before that. And so anyway, we're sitting in this office, and there's Broderick Crawford, Shirley MacLaine, they're there wanting to buy into it. And from what I understand, they own a piece of the Beatles, too. And I did some of their promotion as well. I did the promotion for Pete Best of the Beatles, and I own a Beatles album that I've been told is worth, some people say, $50 million, some $100 million, because it's never been released. And I won't sell it, because I want people to know that the Lord is blessing me, not me blessing me, you know? And so I've got it, and I've played it for a lot of the people in the church. Have any of you ever heard it?
Yes.
Okay. So, and I'm not ashamed to, you know, play a little bit of it. I haven't played it for years, but if you ever doubt me, just try me, all right? And so anyway, I'm in the office, and this thing happened. The Lord came down and started telling me that I had to tell the people in the room about the Lord Jesus Christ, that if I didn't, I was going to die and go to hell. And my ears, I couldn't hear in my ears, but I heard in my body better than I ever heard in my ears. You can hear certain noise here in the room, and we were sitting one floor up in Beverly Hills on Cannon Drive, or one of those drives there. And I had staff of people there. I had a motorcade of six Los Angeles Police Department off-duty police officers and a limousine that would drive this boy that I was promoting around, and myself also. Then we had 17 people as an entourage, like a barber, a guy that would light our cigarettes when we get out of the car. The Lord delivered me from that, incidentally, around 40 years ago. And then here they're all sitting around in the office and just waiting to see what I'm going to say and everything, because they knew I didn't want any investors at all. I wanted to prove to everybody that I beat the Beatles. And so all of a sudden, my ears got off, and the Spirit of God came down upon me, and this voice said, I am the Lord thy God. Stand up on your feet and tell these people in this room about the Lord Jesus Christ and that he's coming back to earth again, or thou shalt surely die. And I said, I flipped out. I'm a genius, and geniuses flip out. And so I'm just going to check out of here and go to a rehabilitation center and make some wallets or string some beads or purses and stuff. And then I'll be rehabilitated, see? And so I tried to get up, and this force, and it was real warm, pushed me back down into my seat. And I thought, well, I've heard of people cracking up, but I'm really going bad. You know, this worse than anyone I've ever heard of, because I'm even feeling this heat coming down on me, and I can't hear, but I can hear in my body. Then I thought, uh-oh, there's somebody goofing on me here. They called me up here, and there's like, they got heat lamps up here, and they got these new electronic things that's talking through my body, and something that can plug up my ears. And, and this is the wrong time to be talking about God or Jesus, because this is business. God would never miss. mixed business with God or Jesus or anything like that. And so I said, I just got to get out of here. So I pushed myself up, and then the Lord says, wouldn't let me. He says, he came down again and says, doubt not, I am the Lord thy God. Stand up on your feet and tell these people in this room about the Lord Jesus Christ and that he's coming back to earth again, or thou shalt surely die. And so I just thought, now, if there's a God, there's a devil. And I never studied the Bible. I don't know anything about God. And what am I going to tell these people about Jesus? I never even studied the Bible. I don't know nothing about him. I'm Jewish. My real name is Bernie Lazar Hoffman. I was born a Jew, and with that name. And so I says, got to get out of here. So I pushed myself up, and the spirit started coming out of my body, back and forth. And the spirit of God came down real strong and short. It was so powerful that I could do that. He knew everything that was in the universe. He knew every hair on my head and everybody else's head. He knew everybody, every pore in everybody's body, and every fiber of carpet, and every grain of dirt and dust, and everything in the whole universe. There was nothing that he didn't know. And I knew that he knew every sin that I'd ever committed in my life. And I said, don't kill me! I'll tell him! And so the spirit went back down into my body. And I says, God, I'm going to kill him. But, not now. I'll call them tomorrow. They think I'm nuts, you know, and they're going to... I didn't mind checking into the nut house, you know, dignified like, dress up and comb my hair and everything, but I didn't want them to come in with butterfly nets and put me in a straitjacket and haul me off in one of these wagons. So I says, let me tell them tomorrow. I'll send them cables, wires, you know, whatever. I'll call them on the phone and tell them, start pulling the breath in and out of me again. I'll tell him now. Don't kill me. And so I says, and I thought, man, I tried to con him. And he ain't going for it. And so I says, okay, you guys, these attorneys, my attorney was there with his wife, and there was this other attorney behind the desk, and they wondered what's going on. I figured they're really going to nail me. But here it goes. Hey, you guys, you know, God's talking to me and telling me to tell you that Jesus is coming back to earth again, okay? And I thought they were going to flip up, and they just didn't do anything. They just looked at me. Because these people really wanted to buy into this singer. And so they weren't going to offend me, you know, by saying. But then all of a sudden the Lord said, is that all you're going to say? He says, you have been involved in all these different promotions for yourself. Say, add more years to your life, more life to your years. Join the American Health Studios in Silhouette Figure Form International. Add 2.5 inches onto your bicep. You know, learn how to flex. You know, do all these things, and you con all these people to come into the health studios and work out. And hi there, this is the Record King with 20 smash hits on one big album for only so much money. Call Plaza 73400 here in New York. HB visited me. I had a whole stack of money all over the floor. He says, I always wanted to roll in money. He probably forgets about that. And I says, can I? And he said, I said, work out, man. Threw money all over the place. This is going back some years. I don't think he wants me to say how many years it was. But we're doing real good and everything, and all of a sudden I just says, oh good. I says, oh my God. And now that you know that I'm up here, you're not going to put as much zeal into that as you do when you're selling records and health studio courses and stuff. Oh God, I'm sorry. And so I says, what am I going to do? And my mind raced. I walked accidentally into a theater on Broadway in New York that was showing Elmer Gantry. I didn't know what it was. It sounded like something down south, you know, and something that would be interesting. I walked in there and I heard him say, repent, Jesus, oh Jesus, and stuff like this. And I said, oh my God, and I turned around and got out of there. But I remember that word, repent. And so I says, "Repent!" Because I was afraid, you know, that he was going to pull the breath out of me and I was going to hell. And then first I'd see them go to hell for not receiving what I was saying. And then I'd go. Okay, so I says, "Get down on your knees. Repent. God's telling me to tell you that Jesus is coming back to earth again. Now repent." I'm telling you, when the Lord puts the squeeze on you like he did me, you're not going to play around with him and think that you can sin anymore. Okay, because he terrified me. Now, the Bible says that God is a terrorist. I learned that later. Paul, the apostle that wrote around two-thirds of the New Testament, says, "Knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men."
Amen.
Believe the gospel. Okay? And so my hearing started coming back in my ears. And my attorney and he said, "For God's sake, Tony, stop it." And the Jewish attorney behind the desk says, "Get him out of here. He's Meshigana. Get him out of here." Meshigana in Hebrew means you're nuts, you know. And I says, "Me nuts?" I said, "I want to talk to somebody, the priest or whoever's the big shot here, the big cheese." And she says, "You can't talk to him at this time." I says, "Get him, sister." You know, back then, nobody would, because nobody played with me like that. And if they did, they found out real fast that I didn't take anything from anybody back then. I might have looked like Frankie Avalon, but I wasn't him. Okay, or some Casper Milquetoast. I wasn't him. Somebody ripped the top of my car. I had an Eldorado Brome Brits over in New York, and I hired some black guys to lay out all night long, and I told them I'd give them $1,000 for every bone they break in their body. I said, if you break their leg or their arms, $5,000 for each ear, arm or leg, major limb. And if you break their skull, it's $10,000. And as I was talking to him, because these guys were supposed to be hit men and stuff, and their eyes just got bigger and bigger as I was talking to them. And I said, "What's the matter? Am I in the wrong place? You guys do this?" And they said, "Yeah, we do stuff, but man, you're chilly. You're cold, baby." So, you know, they find out real fast. Because I had enough money. People from Roulette Records said that they were going to come after me because I leased the Peppermint Twist from Morris Levy. And he called me up and told me, "When am I going to get royalties?" I says, "Look, the contract says that I'm supposed to pay you every 3 months. This is only 1 month. You need some bread?" And he says, "Get out of here." And they threatened me, and they said a hitman is after you. And I says, "I'll just tell the hitman how much should they pay you. I'll pay you double to get them." Okay, that's just the kind of person I was. And a lot of even the people that I knew didn't know me that I was that bad. But anyway, so I searched and searched one church to the other, and I read all kinds of books. I never thought it was in the Bible, the truth. But finally, out of desperation, I was in a room all by myself, and I opened up the Bible, and it said, "Blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." And the same spirit that came down to me in that room came and was starting to come down on me. "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." And all these beautiful words from the Bible started anointing me, coming down. And then the Lord showed me a vision of hell. And so nobody's going to tell me it's not there, okay? And then he showed me a vision of heaven. And then I had my eyes closed. I was on the floor. And I said, "Oh, God, don't send me to hell," you know. And then when he showed me heaven, I said, "Oh, thank you." And I saw myself little, blind, and naked. In other words, I didn't have any of the garments of Christ on, the Word of God on me. I was naked of the truth. And now I know what he was showing me then, just a little nothing. And I thought I was the biggest person, you know, alive, so far as being able to be to promote things and get things going. And
this voice came and says, "You're just doubting all this. You're just doubting in your eyes."
So I opened my eyes, and here was I was on a hardwood floor, and all of a sudden I saw this beautiful rug, and it was just full of all kinds of gorgeous colors that were shimmering. And I knew if I looked up, I'd be seeing Jesus, and I was so much sin on my soul, I couldn't look up. And I says, and then he showed me hell again. I closed my eyes, and I says, "Oh God, I'll never doubt you again. Don't send my soul to hell. Please don't send my soul to hell." I wasn't so much worried about dying, but to die and then go to hell, that is like, that's just not possible for me. That's not possible. I will not go to hell. I will do whatever he says. And I've gone to prison for the gospel. I've been stoned out here on the highway. I've been shot at. I've been spit on. And there isn't anything that will cause me to waver from the truth, because I've seen Jesus. I've seen hell. I've seen heaven. I've seen visions of Sue. This one vision of Sue and myself in heaven, how we would look, and she looked absolutely it's so beautiful you can't explain it. Doesn't make any difference if you've got your nose is on the wrong side of your face or something, or there's some kind of problem with you. There is no imperfection in heaven. Everything is perfect in heaven. And a lot of people say, well, we're not afraid of Jesus. We're not afraid of God. That's because you've never really, if you're sinners, that's because you've never had an experience with him. So anyway, this is my experience, and then I asked the Lord to please save my soul, and I felt the Spirit enter into me, and I felt like a new creature instantly, and I saw the stars breaking in the sky, and when they did, there was like a cross, and the Spirit, and I could hear angels singing, believe it or not. Ask the Lord if you know him. And I started weeping. There was tears that just kept flowing out of my eyes. And I'm not a weeper, but it was tears of joy. I was so happy to know that there's God, and that he's up there, and that he's not this kind of a God. All this jabbing around and stuff like that isn't God, okay? I cannot picture Jesus doing that, can you? That isn't God, all right? And he doesn't have blonde hair and blue eyes. I saw him. He's got black hair and black eyes, and he's a Jew. He's got green colored skin just like me, just like every Jew. So we're green, the color of money. Okay, so, but you want to know something? In heaven, we're all gold. I mean, the color changes. I mean, I saw me in heaven, we were gold colored. And her hair, it all left her because of chemotherapy, and it was clear down to here. Her hair was in bangs that came down here and it swept across here. And there was a bun on top of her head that was like diamonds inside of it, and every time she turned her head, it was sparkling. And my eyes are really bad. That's why I wear these glasses. I'm legally blind, and I can see beautifully, perfect. That legally blind means you can still see, but legally blind means you have to be at least 50% blind, something to that effect. That's government standards. So you can be saved right now. And I don't know if the Lord will give you a vision or dreams, but what I'm telling you is the truth. And so I'm going to open up the altar now. And the decision is yours. The Lord doesn't compel you or command you that you have to be saved. It has to be your choice. The choice is yours. And so the altar is open now. Just if you want to know the Lord, You want this permanent spirit of life to be in you. You don't know if you're going to live another day, right? Or you don't know you're going to live another hour for that minute. So wouldn't you like to have the permanent spirit of the Lord, the eternal life in you right now? You'd be crazy if you didn't. Come on down. All right, Heavenly Father, we thank and praise your holy name for directing me as to what to say. The words that you have given unto me are spirit and they are life. The life that you've given me is permanent. The life that you've given these people this evening is permanent. It is no longer temporal. Your spirit has given them permanent, eternal, immortal life. And Lord, it is precious, and I pray that you'll give them the strength by your word as they read it to maintain that permanent life that you've given them. Father, that they will treasure it as a treasure that is forever. Lord, we're not to treasure the things on this earth, but to have our treasure in the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord God Almighty, praise your holy name for these souls, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, give us your power as we're dismissed, the power, the strength to stay in the love, the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And Father God, we ask that you anoint and bless every one of the musicians here, and we thank you so much for them because they certainly are spiritual, and the song leader, Joe, and all the workers that are out on the streets distributing the literature, and we pray that you give everyone the burden to distribute literature because you're coming back soon, and the time is not much, and they're making laws for we can't preach much anymore with these literature, Lord, so let's put it upon everybody's heart to be very zealous, oh Father, to get that out, all the literature, so that we will not be destroyed. You said if we get the literature out, we will not be destroyed, but if we don't, we will be destroyed. Lord, bless all the people that work in the ministry. Bless the food. Make it for the nourishment of everyone's body in Jesus' name. And everyone says a mighty amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Okay.